Speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
When one looks upon a person with lust, does this give their spouse grounds for divorce? Jesus was able to see the heart of people. And I have said from time to time that it would be wonderful to be able to see the heart of people, but yet at the same time I say that with a little bit of hesitance, because sometimes that might be scary. We might not want to know what people have in their heart, what they're thinking. Jesus, though, possessed that ability to know the thoughts of man, Matthew chapter 9, verse 4 and verse 22, and the heart of man. The mind and the heart go hand in hand in regard to what God says. Those who lust commit sin in their heart. I believe that Jesus identifies this in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28 and following. In the context there, he says that if a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he's already committed sin in his heart, in his mind. Yet at the same time, he has not committed the actual act of fornication. Only the act of fornication justifies divorce and remarriage. And what I mean by that is God says that fornication is the only grounds that a party has for putting their spouse away. And in that then, the one who has a legitimate or a scriptural reason for putting their spouse away, the spouse has been sexually active with someone else, that one who is putting them away needs to remain faithful to the Lord. They need to be what we call today oftentimes the innocent party. And in that then, if they are innocent themselves, then they have the right to put the fornicator away, and as a result of that, then they would also have the right to remarry. A person's heart, let me say this in regard to lusting in the heart. A person's heart will usually lead to committing the act. And what I mean by that is that it does not, just simply because an individual has lust in the heart, they don't have the grounds to go and to divorce their mate. Because that individual had lust in the heart, and they've admitted to that. I might also say, if they'd never admitted to it, then the individual wouldn't know the matter. They're not like the Lord in that. But in that, if an individual dwells upon something long enough, the chances of them participating in the act, and here we're speaking in reference to fornication or adultery, the chances of them actually going through with it increase. It is oftentimes greater. We were given an opportunity or a situation in India, or excuse me, back in Pennsylvania, where an individual her husband had been involved in a relationship with someone else, and incidentally, it was a relationship within the congregation. When we found out about it, we were totally shocked. And as we were sitting with the wife, who was the innocent party, I asked her, said, has he been unfaithful to you? And she says, I don't think so. She says he has admitted that his heart was there, that he desired to engage in a sexual relationship with her, but he did not do that. And in that we said, are you sure of that? And she said, well, said he has told me that that's the way that it is. And we said, well, okay, in that case, then you do not have grounds to divorce him. Well, in that we found out later is that he was not completely honest with her. And he said, whenever I sat with him and talked with him, initially he said that for the longest time he just had the desire to do so, but then eventually he went and actually participated in the act. It's the act of fornication, actually engaging in fornication, that gives scriptural grounds for divorce and then for the innocent party, and I stress that, for the innocent party to remarry.